Peace be with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank God once again, we are able to come to God's sanctuary to hear his word and to worship him. On July 7th, I have shared with you all that Jehovah has saved. And that's from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 to 4. The verses we just read was from chapter 66, 22 to 24. It's the last three verses in this chapter. Last time we talked about Jehovah has saved. As we reflect, early verses. So as we reflect to the past 39 chapters, as we reflect, the first chapter of 39 chapters is all about reminding the Jew, the Israel, the northern state, do not reject me, but repent and return back to me. And last time we read about chapter 66, we have witnessed and read that I look on with favor with those who are humble and contrite in spirits and who tremble at my words. And who are the people that God would not like to see? Those are the people who chose their own ways and they delight in their own abominations. In verse 3 and 4, the word them was chosen to address the hypocrites that God will bring on them what they dread. So in our conclusion from last time, for today's Christians, the most important things is not what to do. Because we can never outdoing to surpass what God, the creator of heaven and earth, has done for us. But first of all, we must be the one who are tremble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at his words. It is this type of spirit where we be able to do his will and let him be comforted. These people, according to verse 5, he called us, you, the people. And once again, verse 5, he called us, you, the people. So starting from verse 5, God uses a second pronoun to address those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And this represents that God spoke directly to them. And when God is conversing with you, it represents you and them will have a different future. And similarly, like in the days when there were two groups of Jews. So today, the believers will have the same two type of groups, you, the people, and them. So may God help us to understand the prophecies in the last 20 verses in Isaiah, Jehovah's salvation is complete. And this time, I'm going to break them into five different sections, segments. First, they will be put to shame. And then they will be comforted in the midst of the suffering. And God is coming to execute judgment on all people. And then the descendants will be used by God. Your name and descendants endured in the new heavens and the new earth. And these are the five sections that I'm going to break down and share with you all. So these are the 20 verses we are going to go through today. So from verse 5 and 6. And brothers and sisters, English brothers, brother and sisters, if you would, let's go ahead and have you open up to the Bible and let's go and read it together. So from verse 5 and 6, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, you, your own people who hate you and exclude you because of my name, have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. Yet they will be put to shame. Hear the uproar from the city. Hear that noise from the temple. It is a sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve. So as you can see, from here, we can see the different pronouns that God used, you and they, you and they. So God addressed to those who tremble at his words, your own people who hate you and excluded you. And what's worst, it is in the name of Jehovah. They excluded you for they claim it is for the glory of Jehovah and for your joy. So the hypocrites spread the false statements, accusation, without even blinking their eyes. But then God addressed to those who hold high positions religiously. So they possess, these people possess the authority. They are the one who's going to persecute you and exclude you, but at the end, they will put to shame. So just in this chapter, we see the words, the pronouns, they appear 18 times, and then you appear about 20 times. So clearly, in the church, in God's sight, people can tell the difference among the believers. So who are we? Are we the wheat or the weeds? So as we read today's scriptures, I pray that we are the wheat. So in Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah was sold to death by King Manasseh. And then prophet Jeremiah was bullied by false prophets almost to his death. But then in New Testament, we see that Jesus was handed over to the Romans by the ruling priests, scribes, and Pharisees, and then nail him to the cross. And even the spirit-filled Stephen was stoned to death by Jews. They are all you, being chased out by them, even to their death. And throughout the histories, many faithful to God were being excluded and sabotaged. In fact, in Matthew 5, Jesus prophesied that prophecy and disciples will be persecuted and defamed. But Jesus said, Those who are persecuted because of him shall rejoice, for they will receive their reward in heaven. And Jesus testified that he's the heavenly reward. He's been proclaiming, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, Jesus was forsaken, nailed, and died on the cross. However, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The word from Jesus is the assurance and the foundation of our faith. So once again, the word from Jesus is the assurance and the foundation of our faith. In the last part of verse 5, they will be put to shame. What does it mean to shame? And from verse 6, hear the uproar from the city. Hear the noise from the temple. Uproar is to scream and to have commotions. And noise in the temple is quite normal, but uproar and commotions meant that it's an unrest. God's temple should be a quiet place, and heavy noise is indicated not peaceful. So they will face unrest and abnormal days. So even though they all have the power, but in their areas, there are a lot of commotion and unrest. That means they are having issues now. And now from verse 6, it is the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve. So not just them, but also God's enemies. It is Jehovah who treat them as his enemies to repay what they have done, gave them a life of unrest and without peace. So it is them, their own acts, that cause them their life unrest and without peace. So what's repaying? It is rooted from Psalm 18:20. Deal with me according to my righteousness. In other words, it is said, however much you gave, I shall repay you as such. So we may ask, King David has committed sins. So how can he self-proclaim to be righteous? David has committed adulteries with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. God allowed his sons to commit adultery with one of his concubines. And then also David killed Uriah. Then God allowed Absalom, his own son, to kill his brother Amnon. So God repay to David for what he has done, and then he will repay to according to his action. So after David destroyed Uriah's families, God allowed David's sons to rebel against him. The unrighteousness of David, God repay him with unrighteousness. However, we know David loved God. He protected God's name, and God let him conquer the giant Goliath. And all of around surrounding the countries, because of that, they all came and then gave him the tribute. And God desires David's heart and allow him to bring the ark into Jerusalem. And God established a covenant with him and let his descendants sat on the thrones forever. So how much we gave, God will repay as much. How much we owe, God gives and takes and to repay us. And this is called retribution. And about 40 years ago, a testimony by one of the young couples, especially the wife, back in New York City, she said, to save more money for the family in one specific week, he once gave an offering that's less than usual. Within the week, she got sick and had to spend money to see a doctor. As she reflects, only if she can honestly give to God what God deserves, God will protect her and not letting her get sick. For the cost to see the doctor costs her more than if she has given, committed to give normally. And her testimony has always been an alert to me for the rest of my life. So God's blessings is abundance. So whatever we give to God, God is going to repay back to us even more. So this is such a lesson that I have learned from such testimonies. And God said, they persecute you and cause you to have no peace. God repay and destroy their control of politics and religions, and cause them have no peace. When will this repaying coming? Let's continue to read verse 7-9. So before she goes into her labor, she gave birth. Before the pains come upon him, come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen such things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? So in these verses, we read that God repays. Unlike a woman in labor, it takes about 10 months of her pregnancies, the pains, and then the labor. God says, whatever he wants to do, it will be done immediately. It will be something that you have heard, you have never heard or seen. So in our weather forecast, political analysis, the probabilities of an organization, it is all according to study of the past historical data based on the current events to forecast the upcoming events. For we recognize the current events were the results of step-by-step accumulation. But for Almighty God, he is not like us, the incapable people. God says, they are all mine, and I want them to put to shame. And this shame will immediately become realities. So whenever God decides, it will come to realization immediately. So from the verse 5-9, You who tremble at his words will be persecuted by them. God will repay them and will bring on them what they dread. What about you then? So as we continue the next couple of verses, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice greatly with her. All you who mourn over her, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comfort breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord said, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandle on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servant, but his fury will be shown to his foes. As I'm kind of reading this a couple of verses, I feel comfort. So the word heard is appointing toward the Jerusalem. So I am very happy when I read this verse, for Jerusalem is the main theme here. It's a main character. And it's all about her. So from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 6, it tells us that now I have chosen Jerusalem for my name to be there. And then also in chapter 7, God has answered King Solomon's when facing disasters. If Israelites humble and turn to the temple in Israel to repent, God promised he will open his eyes and listen to their prayers. And he will open his eyes and hear our prayers. So we see that God has seen the importance and wanted to put emphasis on the people who look toward the Jerusalem. And from verse 10, to God's people, God himself is the Jerusalem. You who love her shall mourn over her, for they love God. They mourn, for they did not follow God in Jerusalem. And God said, you rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. Rejoice greatly with her. And I don't know what you guys see today in today's world. Do you see this world as one that is crooked or as a world that is filled with a hope? Just like the song that we sung earlier, Rescue the Perishing. So who are we? Do we belong to a group of people that God claim us to be, you or them? So we have to reflect, re-examine ourselves, see if our spiritual life, have we continued to grow? So God says, this rejoice is like a mother nurse and be satisfied. I remember when my daughter-in-law, they have two, with my sons, they have two kids. And then I can see how satisfied she was when she was nursing both of her sons. And God, just like God, will let those of you who were persecuted to receive God's glory. And those who got abomination by their own others, God will let them receive their glory from others and Gentiles. This glory will be like an overflowing river. And then like Jordan rivers, Nile River, overflowing with water that caused the land to be fertile, fruitful, and abundant. So the river of righteousness will bring in a fruitful and abundance. And in verse 12, for this, what the Lord said. If you guys remember, we used to sing a song, the peace like the river. So God will give peace to those of you who were being chased out and had no peace. This peace will be like a river, a flooding stream. So God promised to give you, us, the peace. So those of you will be like a baby in the arms of mom. Rejoice on the laps of their moms. I remember when my sons were little, soon after I put them on my laps, holding their hands, sing songs to cheer them up. They were all rejoiced and smiley. So in order for them to receive God's mercy and comfort, they will be like baby comforted by mom's merciful hands. God says, not only will you have this type of peace and glory, your hearts will rejoice and you will flourish like grass. God will flourish your hearts. In other words, our internal life can be seen by others just like the flourish grass. So we believe in Jesus. Slowly, we recognize the worldly riches and glories will no longer satisfy us. The source of our fulfillment and rejoice is when our life has grown and matured. And here we see God's wisdom. The best way to show those who persecute us is to show them our maturity, rejoice, and satisfaction in Christ. When they see us having such peace and glory, they soon will learn there's nothing they can do can be victorious against God. So for those of you who love God, this is what you will have from God. So let's continue with the verse 15 to 17. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down his anger with fury, and his rebuke and with flames of fire. For with fire and with his sword, the Lord will execute judgment on all people, and many will be those slain by the Lord. Those who consecrate and purify themselves to go into the garden, following one who is among those who eat the flesh of the pigs, rats, and other unclean things. They will meet their end together with the one they follow, declares the Lord. I thank God for many of us are able to read God's word directly. So from seeing a baby being satisfied in the arms of their mothers, we come to these sections of the verses. So all of a sudden, our hearts may drop because we just read the scene of God's return and saw his severe judgments. Verse 16, it says, for with fire and with his sword, the Lord will execute judgment on all people. And we have read from Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Baptist John said, the water he used to baptize people is the baptism of repentance. Repentance means to change one's life, change one's directions or one's life path. And change to what? So we must wait on Jesus' return through the Holy Spirit and the fire will we be transformed to become a new Christ-like person. So we have seen that the pastor has continued to baptize a brother and sister in Christ by the water. They just submerge a little while and pull them up. But baptism actually includes the meaning to be submerged and bend over, bend down. Use the water to wash. When we are cooking, using the napa, the Chinese vegetables, using water to wash the napa is like submerge in the water. But then its original flavor and texture will be altered by its marinated sauce. So it will become a pickled veggies. But in reflect to our Christian baptism, we need to have to purify gold, a fire will be used to burn off all the impurities. And only through the submerge under the Holy Spirit. Back to previous one, to purify gold, a fire will be used to burn off the impurities. So the impurity will fall down to the bottom of the molten gold. And that is how you purify the gold. So as a Christians, only through the submerge under the Holy Spirit, we have to go through the fire purification and mold it to be like Christ, like Christians. Then we are qualified to serve in God's temple. So we all have to go through under the fire to purifications. So in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the fire as well. When Christ return, we'll be examined by the fire, going through the purification. So we build our life on the foundation of Christ, going through the fire purification process. If it is gold, silver, or precious stones, they can endure the process. If it's just a grass, grains, soon it will be destroyed by a fire. So whenever we see the gold being purified, the whole process going through the fire, you can find the actual gold is a little bitty things. For it has to go through the purification process to actually see the gold itself. So for us to serve God is that brother and sister, we have to help each other to establish in God's word. Our services, the most important thing is to build up brother and sister in Christ with God's words, and through repentance, the work of refinement continues to build us up. And God give us the brother and sisters, so we need to spend time energy, strength to stay by their side, admonish and encourage each other. And these are the little things that we don't even see. But then as we continue the relationship with our brothers and sisters, going through these purifications, at the end, God will see that we have loving one another in the name of Christ Jesus. Even though we have seen a lot of big buildings, big church buildings, they are all being made by people. But at the end, going through God, us, God, Jesus used fire to purify, to examine us. If they did not really go through the process of purifications, they may not be able to withstand God's fire purification process. And as we read from Revelation chapter 14, 19 to 20, that God used sickle to judge. The angel swung his sickles on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse bridle for a distance of 16 stadia. For how long? The distance of 16 stadia. It's about 200 miles. It's a distance from Nashville to Chattanooga, or almost over to Knoxville. So it is said that the number got struck down by Jehovah will be many. And we recognize that many, not many, can withstand God's judgments. And as for these grapes, who are they representing? In verse 17, it says, those who consecrate and purify themselves. These are the people who have satisfied all the religious rituals outwardly. However, they do not go to the temple to worship Jehovah God. Rather, they simply follow the crowds to the gardens. It is full of different fruits, trees, like grapes and all other fruits. And rather, these people, they go to the garden, follow people to eat the flesh of pigs, rats, and other unclean things. And these are the items that God has designated as unclean things. So they present themselves as if they are holy and religious, but once they enter into the garden, their real selves exposed, and God said they will meet their end together with the one they follow. So let's go and read the verse from 18 to 21. And I, because of what they have planned and done, am about to come and gather the people of all nations and languages, and they will come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and I will send some of those who survive to the nation, to Tarshish, and to the Libyans, and to Lydians, to Tubal, and Greece, and to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame, or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory among the nations, and they will bring all you people from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord, on horses, in chariots and wagons, and on mules and camels, says the Lord. They will bring them as the Israelites will bring their grain offerings to the temple of the Lord in ceremonial clean vessels, and I will select some of them also to be priests and Levites, says the Lord. So in verse 18, God says he knows these people, ones who show they are godly and pure outwardly, but inwardly they are filthy. So God looks at us both inwardly and outwardly. So we must be careful and be cautious. So at home, in private, or when we meet with the non-believers, no matter where we go, no matter what we said, we must remind ourselves and reflect, will we ever say the same thing in front of our brother and sister in Christ? So verse 18, it reminds us greatly as to how we should face God's judgments. For he knows every motive or every action, every word that we said. So the next couple of verses are talking about sharing the gospel in the end time. According to the Bible, the end time has already started in Jesus' time. So these couple of verses were written to address to the Jews at the time. We may not fully understand them, but for the disciples in the end time, will fully understand when they hear the gospels. So on verse 16, many will be those slain by the Lord. It means not all will be slain. Those hypocrites on verse 19. It says the Lord will send them across the world. This is done so they can survive through the nations under God's miracles. So those who survive through the nations, according to Ezekiel 6:8, but I will spare some of you will escape the sword. The word escape was used mostly to describe those who did not get killed on the war front. Spare are the remnant of the people. They are the ones that God has spared their life so they can work for God. In the book of Micah, it talks about this group of a spared people, a remnant. God will gather them, shepherd them, and prosper them, even though they rebel, but God will still use them. So as you can see from verse 19, God will send some of those people who survived to the nations. This included Europe, Africa, and Asia. As you can see, this is the map that God has spread them across the countries. So once again, God will spread them and send them across the nation to Europe, to Asia, to Africa. Even though it seems like they have been spared, they have been sent away, but rather God sent them to those places on purpose. God sent them. So God will use them and send them away so his glory may be spread among the nations. So even though after Babylon, the nation of Babylon, that the nation of Israel has been destroyed. So although the nation of Israel has been destructed, has been destroyed for thousands of years after Babylon, but because the remnant has kept the word of God, we are able to read the Old Testament, just like in John 4:22, Jesus said, the salvation is from the Jews. We are the disciples from all nations. The reason why we are able to gather here and see the glory of God and be able to worship him, it is all because God's Son, the Jewish Jesus, died for us. And because of all the disciples, they travel abroad to share the gospels. In verse 20, and they will bring all your people from all the nations to my holy mountains in Jerusalem. So it is the first time when captured Jews return during the Persian era. And then 2,000 years later, many Jews from all the nations started to return back to the Israels. So actually, the Israels, the land of Israel nowadays should be called Canaan, the land of Canaan. And we see even when the nation of Israel was reestablished in 1948, many more Jews returned back to the land of returned to the land that God has given to their or promised to their ancestors. So until today, there are special agencies from Israel that would go abroad trying to seek all of the Jewish descendants around the world. Once found, they will seek for financial sponsorship so they can bring them back to God's promised land. This is another reason why Israelites do not waive any rights to their own sovereign land. Romans 12 says that we are all living sacrifice. In other words, we the Gentiles, when we all return to this spiritual Israel, just like in verse 20, as an offering to the Lord. Peter also said, we are royal priests, just like what God said, that he will make us the priests for Levites. So we are royal priests. The royal, that simply means we have a status almost like a prince. We are royal. We are part of a royalty. So no matter what position you owe today, that you own today, position today, that there's nothing greater than having such of a royal priest status. Let's continue with the verse 22 to 24. As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure from one new moon and to another, and from one Sabbath to another. All mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord, and they will go out and look on the dead bodies of those who rebel against me. The worm that eats them will not die. The fire that burns them will not be quenched, and they will be loathsome to some mankind. So God revealed to Isaiah about the end of the world. In chapter 65, God proclaimed he is going to create a new heaven and an earth, the new Jerusalem. We love to use the verse 19. There will be no crying, no mourning, for all will be peaceful and rejoicing. And in Revelations, John saw the new heaven and earth, the new holy city, Jerusalem, in it. And in it, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The revelation that both Isaiah and John had received were all the same. So in chapter 21, God's tent is among the people. The tent was made by man on the earth, and God was with them. But in the future, like Psalm 23 says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. It is from above. Come into the earth, and we can live with God. When we live in the house of the Lord, descending from heaven, we get to enjoy his love and mercy. God, Emmanuel, God is with us and will be satisfied. So for those of us who enter into God's temple, we will enjoy the everlasting love and mercy from God. And God is with us. When God is satisfied, we'll be satisfied, for we will receive the rest and peace. And what a beautiful picture we see here. But it is not the end yet. In this new heaven and new earth, it is for you who are trembling for his words. Verse 24 says, those who chose their own ways and ones who God detested, they became merely the corpse, and they were consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And since they have already become corpses and have no feeling or any of a conscience, they probably won't be affected by the fiery lake of a burning sulfur or even the worms eating their flesh. As a matter of fact, Pastor has always told us the opposite side of the eternal life is not eternal death. Rather, it is eternal punishment. If it's eternal death, then once die, then that's end of it. But those who became corpses, that means it's a spiritual death and separated from the life of God. And like the death of Adam, his physical body still has its awareness. It will decay and eat by worms, and they will continue to burn in a fiery lake of fire and burning sulfur. So wanting to live, it cannot be done. Wanting to die, it cannot either. So how horrible is such, and such of a sadness. And now from the beginning, we learn about God's prophecies about salvation. And now down to the complete, God's salvation is complete. So in chapter 65, it talks about the new heaven and the earth. In chapter 66, we read about they are distinguished of you and them. So you can forever live in the new heaven and the new earth to worship God. Them cannot enter but become corpses and endure the fiery fire. So God's salvation is complete. Let's bow and pray. Father, we give thanks to you. 1,000 years ago, that your salvation is completed. You have prepared. So for those of us who trust in you, we'll be able to enter in. We'll be going through the purifications that we are able to enter the new heaven and earth that you created. And on this earth, we are weak. A lot of time we fall. We just ask that God, you help us to repent. And let us remember that, Father, you love us. You are the creator of all. And help us that we are willing to stand in front of you and continue to serve you full-heartedly. And let us come to you to have a close relationships. For we know that relationship that we have will be will be near, will be love and mercy. And especially want to pray for the friends who are here with us. If they do not know you, Father, we ask you to give them opportunity to learn you, to learn about you, that they are willing to walk in the path that we wanted to follow you. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.